Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
NBC with a report on I don't know, some people might find this a shocking number. 72% of Americans say the country is headed in the wrong direction. That is a pretty overwhelming number of people who are not happy with the way things are going in the United States. The story from Mark Murray at NBC News. Overwhelming majorities of Americans believe the country is headed in the wrong direction and that their household income is also falling behind the cost of living. And we'll, that'll tie in, I think, to the supply issues.
Well, I think that the country is heading in the wrong direction in that it's a country.
Ooh, what do you mean by that, Bonnie?
The United States is too big and needs to split up.
Yeah, and there is a lot of people talking about divorce DC and quote-unquote national divorce. And I hope that people, are really taking that idea seriously, especially as things get worse, not better. Because it's a fair solution.
Because I'm sure that all of the 72%, or not all of them, but, most of them all want to go in different directions to the direction of the country. So why don't we just split up and whoever wants to do certain things goes to California?
Absolutely. And I think, especially like referring to Joe Biden specifically, half the people, right, they hate him because he's a little bit too liberal.
On the economy, while job creation is up and the unemployment rate is down, 61% of respondents in the poll say their family's income is falling behind the cost of living. That's compared with 30% who say they're staying about even. So that's 91%. Of the people surveyed said they're either falling behind the cost of living or they're just barely treading water.
That's
at this point.
Big number.
And it's only going to get worse.
Yeah.
They're not
91%.
Yeah.
Did you see what Joe Biden said to a reporter recently that asked him a question about inflation?
Yeah, didn't he call him a dumb son of a bitch or something like that?
He said stupid. I didn't see that. Stupid son of a bitch. He said another one about inflation. Inflation, you stupid son of a bitch.
I thought he said something like inflation is good policy or inflation.
He didn't say anything specifically about inflation. The guy just asked a question about inflation. He said another one about inflation.
Hmm. Yeah, because it's an issue. I would love to hear Joe Biden say the definition of inflation.
He has no idea.
Like, what does that mean?
Either he has no idea or he is purposefully, misleading. I mean, odds are he's purposely misleading. There was a quote today. I wish I had it in front of me, but it was one of those quick little clips you see on social media where he's just rambling about something else. And then he goes off and says that the reason why, he says one third of the reason why we have inflation is because of the cost of vehicles.
Actually, 2 weeks ago today, I figured out that my wife is pregnant and she really wants to have a home birth. She's been wanting to have one since before we met. But then days after we found out, Nikki was talking about midwifery on Free Talk Live. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember if it was her that said this or if I saw it or heard it in one of the classes that we're taking about home births. But we heard that 14% of home births end up in the hospital and 90% of that 14% are just due to pain.
Yeah, I definitely said that, but you might have also heard it in your class as well.
Okay. Well, so we interviewed the very first midwife yesterday, and we really liked her and bonded with her. But one thing that kind of broke it for us is that she said that she would call 911 and have us transferred to a hospital if the baby was breached. And I was just curious on your take, Nikki, if do most midwives do that with a breached baby? Because I know you can.
What is a breached baby?
Upside down.
So the baby is supposed to be head down when it's born.
Uh huh.
And a breached baby is typically like bum down, feet down.
I see.
Type of thing. So not completely ideal. But I will tell you, a lot of midwives won't take a breached baby at home. I would.
Actually, 2 weeks ago today, I figured out that my wife is pregnant and she really wants to have a home birth. She's been wanting to have one since before we met. But then days after we found out, Nikki was talking about midwifery on Free Talk Live. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember if it was her that said this or if I saw it or heard it in one of the classes that we're taking about home births. But we heard that 14% of home births end up in the hospital, and 90% of that 14% are just due to pain.
Yeah, I definitely said that, but you might have also heard it in your class as well.
Okay, well, so we interviewed the very first midwife yesterday, and we really liked her and bonded with her. But one thing that kind of broke it for us is that she said that she would call 911 and have us transferred to a hospital if the baby was breached. And I was just curious on your take, Nikki, if do most midwives do that with a breached baby? Because I know you can...
What is a breached baby?
Upside down.
So the baby is supposed to be head down when it's born.
Uh-huh.
And a breached baby is typically like bum down, feet down type of thing. So not completely ideal. But I will tell you, a lot of midwives won't take a breech baby at home. I would.
70% agree with the statement that America has become so polarized that it can no longer solve the major issues facing the country, and that those differences will only continue to grow. And if that's what people believe, that is what will be the reality, right? Because to a large extent, what you believe is what is possible in
absolutely
life, right? Like, if you don't believe you can fly, meaning people, obviously flapping your arms isn't going to get you anywhere, but you know, people didn't think you could fly.
Yeah, not with that attitude.
Right. People didn't think you could fly before the Wright brothers proved them wrong. And so you have to have that belief that something is possible. Same thing as what I said at the hearing about independence. I forget exactly what the guy who was in charge of the hearing said. He said he just didn't think it was possible or something. Yeah. So, well, that's your problem. You got to change your beliefs.
Yeah, I said, we don't have a plan. I'm not comfortable with this because there's no plan.
Well, whatever the plan is right now, I mean, what we're doing right now in this country is not working. And I think it's so ironic because you have all these people saying that the country's going in the wrong direction and it's just going to get worse and it's just going to get more polarized. But all of those people, or most of those people, I'm willing to bet you, would also say that secession wouldn't work.
The government gang created a lot of the issues facing the country, like the war on drugs, illegal wars all around the world. I mean, putting peaceful people in prison cells like Ross Ulbricht, Julian Assange, who they want to put in prison for 170 years. Inflation, terrible, just being generally awful. They've created so many different problems in the United States, and they are not going to ever be the solution to those problems.
I don't even know what problems I would have without the government.
Probably not very many.
You'd probably have some interpersonal conflicts from time to time. There might be, you know, somebody who did something in your personal life that you don't like or you disagree with, or somebody saying something to you on the streets about not wearing a mask or whatever, right?
The mask thing probably wouldn't have happened without the government.
That's
I don't
true.
Think
honestly,
people
it probably wouldn't.
I don't believe that people would have just been like, this is the only answer and we must mandate it in our store. And if someone wants to come in and buy clothes in one of the rundown places in, you know...
You guys got kicked out of somewhere today, didn't you?
Yes.
We did.
It wasn't rundown. Oof.
But we went to three different places and we only got kicked out of one of them.
Okay.
So
they didn't need your business, apparently.
Yep. I know. I said out loud, I was like, how can you stay afloat selling clothes in Keene, New Hampshire when you don't let everyone in?
I guess they're fine just selling to ultra liberals.
I don't see New Hampshire being an independent nation being anywhere near worse as what we're dealing with right now.
You mean when New Hampshire leaves. I see what you're saying. Yeah. I was going to say,
this is going to get worse.
Yeah.
It's worse than it was yesterday. You know, like it just keeps inflation, all of these things just keep getting worse and worse and worse.
I agree. What do they think? Or, you know, people like Baldessaro, the head of the committee the other day that heard the independence bill saying, oh, well, we don't have a plan, so I can't support this. What does he think could possibly get worse? We're about to get... I mean, the United States is about to get a lot worse insofar as poverty once, you know, inflation gets worse, especially if we go to war, because then you got to inflate even more just to go to war and, you know, people are going to die.
Well, people like him, even though he calls himself a liberty Republican.
That was just a straight up lie.
Yeah. People like him are central planners. That's why he wants to have a plan. Oh, well, we can't do anything that would result in more freedom. Because we need to plan freedom, according to him.
Other people's lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it doesn't work that way.
No.
The plan would come about if we were to declare independence. We'd have to figure out all the details after that. There's really no way to figure out those details in advance. This thing is still going forward. It's lumbering forward with this, you know, octogenarian, nearly octogenarian child toucher in the federal government head office. And, you know, he's not any worse or better than the guy before him and the people before him. They're all just a bunch of psychopaths who want to force their way upon us and force us to pay for their wars and putting people in prison and so on.
Well, one answer to your question that people give, it's not a good answer, is you can always go to another country if you don't like it here. But there's not another country on Earth that isn't, you know, run by a government.
Well, that's true. And also, 70% of Americans aren't going to move to another country, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's not even an option.
Yeah, but people say it to, like, me, for example. Like, I wrote an article about how Brody Deshaies was lying at the secession hearing the other day.
That's a state representative who loves the empire.
Empire, yes. And one of the comments from one of the typical trolls that mm-hmm. always comes over on freekeen.com was saying, Bonnie, well, why can't you answer me this? What country is better? Why don't you? I was like, there isn't one. That's why we need to create a whole new one. I mean, I didn't say anything.
There are some places that are better on some things, right? Like, so some places have more economic freedom than the United States. Other places may have more freedom in other areas. But
is there a country that has more economic freedom other than Hong Kong?
Well, Hong Kong's not really a country, but Singapore, I believe, ranked higher than the U.S. You know, these people, for the most part, even though they're upset, even though they're angry, they are divided. These are generally just not going to be people that we're going to be able to sway to liberty. These are all people who want to control the other side. They want to tell the other side what to do. They want to create the regulations, the rules, the taxes. They want to create their perfect state, and they're never going to get it. Mm. Not out of D.C., but they can come closer to it. With secession, the red states can get redder, the blue states can get bluer, California can have a, you know, total communist paradise or whatever, Texas can have a total crackdown on personal freedoms, and the people who want to live in those places should go to those places.
And honestly, some of the bigger states need to separate within themselves. Like,
you think there should be like multiple parts of Texas?
Yeah, I feel bad for the people who have always lived in Texas and have always had like a very, very Texan mindset of mm-hmm. like, you know, even though it's not something I agree with, but it's small government or whatever. They're being invaded right now by Californians who are like, hey, I didn't like the overrunning of the homeless in Los Angeles, but, you know, I still think blah, 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 stupid liberal ideas, and they're ruining Texas for mm-hmm. the Texans that were already there. They should just break off to where the big cities are their own things.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
Nikki, you had a story about the shortages. We've been covering those on occasion here on Free Talk Live. We've talked about, you know, grocery store shelves being somewhat empty.
Yep.
At least around here, we were seeing just in the last 2 weeks, there were just very light shelves at one of the grocery stores here in town. And it's not just there. There have been a few empty, like we were just at Aldi, which is an international grocer, discount grocer here in Keene. They're based out of Germany. There have been a couple freezers that have been basically almost empty for the yeah. past couple of, 3 months at least, it seems like. So I remember we noticed it kind of around Thanksgiving when, you know, a lot of people were talking about turkeys were hard to find. And there's been one freezer that has been broken ever since then. They haven't bothered to replace it. So that's
so they
weird,
must not need it.
Right? Yeah. Clearly they don't need it. And then in at least two of the other freezers, there was one of them today where if you were going to reach in to get product, you would have to reach all the way to the bottom of the freezer because there's virtually nothing in this one freezer. In another freezer, it was very light on product. Another one was mostly filled with just French fries because they obviously didn't have anything else that they could put in that
place.
And that's been a problem for months.
I've been following the food shortages for a very long time, and I've kind of been suspecting that we would see some this winter. And a bunch of news is coming out today about a CO2 shortage. Mm. They use it to keep produce fresh and to treat meats and things like that.
Oh, boy.
So that's their newest excuse on the food shortage. You know, there's some realistic reasons, like the vaccine mandates and stuff like that, that make sense for the food shortage. But the media just wants to blame it on coronavirus, and now they have this new scapegoat, the CO2, something about a CO2 deal that hasn't gotten signed off on, and it's expiring. So they're just kind of grasping at straws to make it seem like something other than what it truly is.
Well, I mean, maybe it is this, right? I mean, if, for instance, we've heard about there's specific parts that are getting harder to find that go into manufacturing things, right?
Yeah.
So somebody was saying, oh, we can't get tissue paper. I think you were at like a Joann's Fabric or something.
It wasn't, I was talking about a video I saw, but yeah.
But that kind of store, like they can't get these tissue. Well, that's also true for manufacturers that use the tissue paper in their product, whatever it is they're making, right? So like, you know, you buy some sort of frilly thing at a girly shop and it comes in tissue paper. Well, like, you need that to make the product look good, right? To have the nice presentation. Nikki, you were telling us that there's some sort of a deal for this, for carbon dioxide, CO2, and there's something fell through. What exactly is going on here?
So it seemed like the U.S. must be subsidizing the CO2 because it's very expensive and high energy prices, and a deal is expiring January 31st, and with just days until January 31st, they still haven't secured a new negotiation. So the food and beverage industry is concerned that this will cause food shortages and beverage shortages worse than what we're already seeing.
Yeah.
So I'm not, that might be true. It just, to me, seems like a sort of scapegoat, and it doesn't seem like, it just seems like if they wanted to, they would come to an agreement. And why is this happening so last second? And it might just be a way for them to cover up all of the other reasons for the shortages.
Mm. Yeah, it sounds like a scapegoat. Anytime the media is making a big deal about just one little thing, I'm always just like, what is their goal here?
Well, and that's the thing too. So I've been monitoring this for a long time, and just today, as I was looking through more current news, that's all I could find was like the trucks. And then I saw like 6 or 7 articles on the CO2. I'm like, is that really that big? And they were all from today.
Number one, guess who runs the ports?
Yep.
The government runs the ports. Number two, who's telling the truckers that they can't work because they have to get vaccinated? And what percentage of truckers is all about freedom? There's a huge percentage of truckers all about freedom. So when you tell truckers that they can't work unless they get vaccinated, a bunch of truckers would be like, well, you know, I've been thinking about retiring, so I'm done. And then no one else wants to take that position. That's why you've got a ton of product coming off of these ports, but no trucks to actually pick them up. And now even fewer are going to be available because the international truckers are being told they have to have vaccines. So it's caused it in those ways. It's, of course, caused the issues with all the various different coronavirus restrictions in so many different industries that have restricted things. I mean, there's just so many different factors. Inflation, of course, on top of everything else, making it more and more difficult to just feed yourself. And there's, I mean, the state is the problem. Coronavirus isn't the reason for this. If it were just some people getting the flu or getting a cold, which is basically what we're talking about with coronavirus, it would be completely unremarkable because every year we go through flu and cold season, and every year tens of thousands of people die prior to COVID-19, and it was barely even worth a newspaper headline. And now all of a sudden it's this huge problem, and all of life has to be completely modified. Well, those are some of the reasons why you've got these supply issues. This is not something that is killing people. That's why they keep talking about the cases.
Yep.
Remember, 2 years ago, it was all about the deaths.
Yeah, now it's just positive cases.
So how many of the 1,700 dock workers that tested positive were actually sick?
Probably one.
Some of them were.
You know, yeah, okay. Like maybe like two.
But you know what they're doing. they're going to mandate that they all stay home. Oh, everyone's got you got COVID. Okay. Oh, you're not, you don't even have a runny nose. Well, you still have to stay home.
Yeah. Meanwhile, nurses are actually sick and they have to come into work after 5 days. So, but I couldn't go to work because I'm unvaccinated, right? So I'm so dangerous.
Totally makes sense.
Yeah.
The slump in inbound volume capped a year in which the port complex broke records with massive imports in Southern California. In 2021, the two ports combined handled the equivalent of 10.1 million containers, which is a 12% increase compared to the previous record set in 2018. So despite the delays, they're actually moving more product than they were in 2018. It's just there's just not enough truckers. Literally, that's one of the hugest breaks in this chain, is that the truckers just aren't there to pick it up.
Yeah.
And what's going to change that? They're so highly regulated, and now they're more regulated than they've ever been.
England just got rid of all regulations for masks.
They did.
I don't know if it's regulations is the right word. Why is the United States behind?
Our chat guys have been crunching the numbers on some of these ridiculous claims about the number of truckers going to Ottawa, Canada to converge on the capital of Canada on the 29th in just a few days. Somebody posted, Chantel in the chat at chat.freetalklive.com, posted a tweet from someone claiming that there are 15,000 truckers coming from California, 10,000 from Michigan, 5,000 from Ohio, 7,000, and just going on. It's ridiculous, yeah. Just on its face. As he says, there's zero chance this is even remotely true. He says, I'd be shocked if there were any coming from the United States, since they to be vaccinated to do that.
I did see that video of truck drivers claiming that they were going from South Carolina to Canada. But you're right.
And the claim was there were hundreds of them?
650.
I think that
is oddly kind of specific, right? Mm-hmm.
There's one thing to just say that it sounds ridiculous, but I mean, this might be a last-ditch effort for a lot of people. I mean, it's literally, this is the line in the sand for a lot of people.
Sure, but why would that many truckers from the United States go up to Canada? And as was pointed out, number one, they have to be vaccinated. Hmm. So the true freedom-loving truckers are not going.
Some people who have gotten vaccinated now realize that, that was a scam. They're not letting us go back to normal, and I got vaccinated.
The supply chain issues is ongoing and has been for a while. Not only were these ships stuck in harbors, but restaurants everywhere were going through issues with curbside, with everybody needing gloves and masks and to-go containers. And of course, prices went up, even though you could get items.
Oh, yeah. The restaurateurs in the area have been expressing that they're seeing doublings in the cost of some of their products. I remember the guy running the Indian food place apparently was complaining because, like, a bag of, you know, onions that would have cost him $14 is now $29.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's had to raise his prices, and so has everyone else.
Yeah, and this brings up a really interesting point that is overlooked by most. Restaurants use gloves to cook their food, right? To prepare food a lot of the times. Mm-hmm. And with everybody, you know, buying gloves to wear, you know, to drive down the street when they don't really need them.
Yeah.
Apparently, gloves have gone up from $40 to $150.
For like a big box of them or something.
Yeah. So even just, and I actually kind of came across that myself because I was looking for gloves for work. And I'm thinking, are they really this expensive? Like, I would think that a box of 100 gloves would be like $5. But they were like $20.
Wow.
Yeah,
so
that's
ridiculous. But yeah, so food supplies have been drastically impacted as well. One of their primary purveyors has eliminated Sunday deliveries and second runs.
I just heard you all talking about underestimation of the amount of truckers that are going to Ottawa. This is it's been going on for days. There are truckers from all over Canada heading to Ottawa. I watch YouTube video of helicopters and drone footage.
Mm-hmm.
There are at one point up to 11 different convoys converging. One estimate was 150 kilometers long.
Wow.
And there are trucks being ferried from Nova Scotia, Newfoundland. The trucks that are you know, heading there are bobtail. There are all of them aren't hauling trailers, so mm-hmm. you can have a lot more trucks in convoys not hauling loads. Plus, it's not only trucks, but it's everyday people that are, you know, in their normal vehicles that are in these convoys. So yes, these are a lot of vehicles in the. As far as the United States truckers that are consolidating with them mm-hmm. behind them, they're full well knowing they aren't probably going to get to cross the border.
Yep.
But they're going to block all of the borders, and there are multiple crossings into Canada from the U.S.
Dean, you were just kind of explaining to us why it is that there just aren't enough drivers on the roads right now to move the products that are waiting at the shipyards. Now we know that there's 109 or so cargo ships out west of out in the Pacific Ocean, basically waiting to move their cargo into the U.S. There's just not enough truck drivers to pick it up. And you were identifying some of the problems, some of the challenges that that you know have existed. One of them being the fact that there just aren't enough younger guys coming in to replace the retiring drivers, and that's one of them. But didn't all of the problems facing trucking get worse in just the last 2 years due to things like vaccine mandates? Haven't there been a lot of drivers who just thrown up their hands in frustration and said, you know what, I'll do something else with my time?
Sure, but I am not an ex-trucker.
Oh.
I'm an ex-Walmart warehouse employee. I was an unloader, so I unloaded trucks.
Yeah, I see. So you were working with the drivers every day hearing the stories. I got you.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Oh, yeah, and there's truckers in my family. Mm-hmm. I mean, my gosh, there's three or four of them in my family.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.